Zoe, thank you so much. Wow. Namaste. We see the God in you. So as Galeem told you, the title of my talk is Life is Calling. And what I want to know is if you are listening. What is life calling us to do? What is life calling us to be? What is life calling us to share? Are you listening? In our global vision, we say we see a world of peace, of harmony, enfranchisement, and justice. So what do we have to do? What do we have to be? What do we have to share to be able to embrace that peace or to create peace and harmony in our lives this day? We certainly don't have to all be the same, do we? It's different thoughts, it's different ideas, it's different ways of being that engenders creativity and progress. It enables us to discover new things and new ways of being. And at the same time, we need to remember that we are made in the image and likeness of God. And as the song said earlier, we can do all we can with what we have in the time we have. In Science of Mind textbook on page 458, it says, "The mind which condemns understands not the truth of being, and the heart which would shut the door of its bosom to one who is mistaken strangles its own life, closing its eyes to a greater vision. The biggest life is one that includes the most. Not that we foster vice or place a premium on wrongdoing, but we do understand the frailties of human nature and learn to overlook much. To him who loves much, much is forgiven." Oftentimes, we are quick to judge, as has been so apparent in the news lately. And it's so apparent in the news as well that life is calling us. It is calling us to step up to the plate and not to judge erroneously. We make assumptions, don't we? And we forget that each and every one of us is made in the image and likeness of God. Many of us grew up having other people define for us how we should be, what we should think, what we should do. Hogwash. They told us that we should eliminate fear, we should shun doubt, and we should avoid getting angry. Well, I want you to think about this. Fear is what keeps that child from running out on the road in front of a moving car. Fear is what keeps you from falling off the cliff by getting too close. Fear is what keeps you from burning your hand by sticking it in the fire. And doubt. Doubt causes us to question what it is we think we know. Doubt causes us to search for and find the truth that works for us. We get to question other people's thinking. We get to find our own answers. And we get to be free, free to do and be what life has called us to be. And anger, what about anger? Oftentimes, anger brings about social change. That is not a bad thing. And passion. Doesn't each and every one of us want to passionately find God in our lives? We get to demonstrate the fire by the faith that we have in the divine. It is how we create more good for ourselves and for others. What we really want to do is we want to replace our attitudes, don't we? We want to take that attitude that's not quite what it could be and replace it with something much more desirable. Paul in the Bible said, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." My strength is made perfect in weakness. We get to redirect our energy so that our weaknesses can become our strengths. In 1 Corinthians 12, it says, even so the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. Mm-hmm. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed all the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but there's only one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. Those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so there would be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for one another. If one part suffers, every part suffers. If one part is honored, every part is honored. Now, doesn't that passage of the Bible, 1 Corinthians 12, speak to diversity? If one part suffers, every part suffers. And if one part is honored, every part rejoices. We get to understand that our differences are part of life. Our differences are what make us exciting and interesting, and let us know that we can be flexible enough to know that we don't have to agree on everything, and we can still get along. We don't have to be the same to live harmoniously. We are all part of that body, and I can be the hand and you can be the foot, and each one of us has a purpose that we are called to do. Marcel Proust says, quote, the only true voyage of discovery, the only fountain of eternal youth, would be not to visit strange lands, but to possess other eyes, to behold the eyes of the universe through the eyes of another, of 100 others, to behold the 100 universes that each of them behold, that each of them is. Now, when the Berlin Wall came down, it was a symbol, wasn't it? When the Berlin Wall came down, it was the beginning of the end of exclusiveness. Because walls do two things. They lock people out or they lock people in. And the coming down of that wall symbolized that we are on the road to the realization that all people are part of that body. All people are part of the family of mankind. We can achieve our ends by inclusion and not by exclusion. Ernest Holmes in 10 Ideas That Make a Difference says, it is intended that we all live together in peace, do away with prejudice, know the needs of another, learn to respect one another. We are all so much alike on the inside, but unity does not mean uniformity. Have we kindness for each other? Are we flexible enough to know that everyone does not have to think alike in order to live harmoniously? Back of all, we need a sympathetic understanding of one another. If we could see through the eyes of another and feel through the hearts of another, wouldn't our attitudes be so much different? We would truly be seeing with what Ernest Holmes called sympathetic understanding. Back in 1895, yes, 1895, a lady by the name of Mary Lathrop wrote a poem, and I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's too long, but it's called Walk a Mile in His Moccasins, and it's often attributed to various Indian tribes, but it was really written by this lady, and she said, pray don't find fault with the man that limps or stumbles along the road. unless you have worn the moccasins he wears or stumbled beneath the same load. There may be tears in his soles that hurt, though hidden away from view. The burden he bears placed on your back could make you stumble too. Just walk a mile in his moccasins before you abuse, criticize, and accuse. If just for 1 hour you could find a way to see through his eyes instead of your own muse, I believe you'd be surprised to see that you've been blind and narrow-minded, even unkind. There are people on reservations and in the ghettos who have so little hope and too much worry on their minds. Brother, there but for the grace of God go you and I, just for a moment, slip into his mind and traditions and see the world through his spirit and his eyes before you cast a stone or falsely judge his conditions. Walk a mile in his moccasins. That was written in 1895. You see, this problem, this issue we have of not having empathy goes back a really long ways. It's not something new. And Kris Kristofferson wrote a song much more recently than that, and it said, "Let the walls come down and let the love come through. When it all comes down, it's up to you." And that's the truth for us, isn't it? Inclusiveness is up to each and every one of us. And it seems like a pretty simple word, inclusiveness, and it seems like a pretty good idea most of the time. But the truth is that it is way more than that. It is a revelation in consciousness. And with it, we will transform the world in unimaginable ways. We will transform the way we currently see ourselves, how we interact with others. Inclusivity. And it is up to us. It is up to you. It is up to me to be the change we wish to see in the world. That sounds kind of trite, but it truly is up to each one of us individually. Life is calling you to peace and harmony and inclusivity. Are you listening? Are you listening? And life is calling us to justice. Science of Mind, page 471. We cannot be born of the Spirit unless we do the will of the Spirit. And the will of the Spirit is goodness, peace, mercy, justice, and truth. This new birth comes not to be observation, but by loud proclamation through an inner sense of reality. Justice as freedom inspires forgiveness. We cannot tell where this comes from if we look to outer things, because it proceeds from the innermost parts of our own being. Justice, justice. When we envision a world of justice, what do we do? What do we see? We open ourselves to some deep inner work, don't we? What is justice? Justice as love, justice as freedom, justice as liberty. We let go of the need for revenge, and we look for the God within the other. Sometimes it's kind of hidden, but we look for the God within the other person. And it's important to remember that the offenders still need to make amends. They don't just get to, you know, do this stuff and just move on. They get to make amends. And we still get to remember that what was meant for evil, God uses for love. God uses for love. So in 1976, Bruce Jenner was the Olympic decathlon men's event champion. And in 2015, he embraced justice. He embraced it as the liberty by stepping into a new life experience as Caitlyn Jenner. She not only freed herself from the prison of a body that was not serving her truth, but she stepped beyond the oppressive mindsets of people who judged being transgender as being evil. Moreover, by freeing herself, she became a model for people. She became a model for choosing to live her life authentically. And what a gift that was to transgendered youth and adults who had been bullied and abused and killed. Some of them had even resorted to suicide. to bring it forward into the public to acknowledge that she was accepting of the truth of who she was and the truth of whoever else was in that same situation. So what is life calling you to be? It's calling you to know the truth. It's calling you to be the truth. And it's calling you to share the truth, isn't it? It's calling you to share the truth of who and what we are. Know ourselves as united with the presence of justice, knowing that spirit is always just. Contemplate, meditate, and draw into your life conditions and relationships and activities of justice. Life is calling you. Repudiate any teachings or conditions that do not equate to justice for all. Promote greater freedom and justice through your thoughts, your words, your actions, and your prayers. Be just, be fair, be honest, be the truth of who you are. Affirm and share honesty and equity for yourself and for others. Envisioning and coming to see a world of enfranchisement. That says we are living with a consciousness of love. We are sharing our food with the hungry. We are giving shelter to the homeless. We are giving clothing to people without. And we are working to get relief for those who are oppressed. The CSL vision says that all citizens of the cosmos should be recognized as individualized expressions of God. Matthew Fox says, "For compassion is not an ethical system. It is the fullest experience of God that is humanly possible. While it includes ethics, as all true spirituality must, it blossoms and balloons to something greater than ethics. To a celebration of life and relief, where possible, of others' pain. Compassion is the breakthrough between God and humans. It is humans becoming divine and recovering and remembering their divine origins as images and likenesses of God." When the Creator made us, it says that God breathed a portion of his breath into us, and each one of us has a share of that breath. We're all individualized expressions of God. Every soul is joined to every other soul. Each of us is a portion of the divine from on high, aren't we? Each soul is joined, and each was created by one Creator. Rabbi Dressner declares, "It is the truth of all truths that every man is our brother, that we are all children of one Father, we are all sheep of one Shepherd, we are all creations of one Creator, and all parts of one infinite, gracious Spirit that pervades and sustains all of mankind. We are not only brothers under one Father, but we are all the very same brother, all the very same man, all part of the one universal person." Love, compassion, equality, justice, peace, and harmony. Sometimes it seems in this day and age, as we watch TV and we hear the news, you know, I saw something that enraged me on Facebook, and my husband is Japanese, and they were talking about the Japanese rapists and murders, and I was quite incensed that this particular person condemned a whole race by the actions of a couple of people. And don't we often do that? We you know, I think of what we did to those people back then when we put them in concentration camps. And there were the Nisei people who were fighting on our side against the Japanese. And yet this person had, to me, the nerve. And I thought, you know, this is just one instance. It happens every day. It happens every day to people of color. They're condemned by the action of one person. We condemn an entire race. How crazy is that? How crazy is that? Love, compassion, equality, justice, peace, and harmony. Let the walls fall down. We need to know that the walls are falling down. What is life calling you to do? What is life calling me to be? What is life calling us to share? It's calling us to be a member of the human family. Together, we are one. We're all parts of the same body. To live a life of compassion, to live a life of freedom, to live a life of justice. And what do we need to do? We need to take the time to raise our consciousness through prayer, through study, and through good works. We need to take the time to forgive ourselves and others and to live in grace and share our gifts with the world. Every one of you has a gift that you can share with the world. Every one of you makes a difference. Compassion is the full expression of God. It is the breakthrough between God and humans. We can celebrate life and we can help others. We can help relieve their pain. So what do we have to share? Our compassion as humans becoming divine. And remember that each and every one of us is made in the image and likeness of God. Life is calling us. Life is calling us to be love, to share love, and to let our passion inflame our compassion and send us forward beyond our limitations, beyond our wildest expectations, to embrace new possibilities and to rise to our highest self. So I have an affirmation for you to repeat with me today, and it says, I rise to my greatest self.
I rise to my greatest self.
I am love.
I am love.
I am truth.
I am truth.
And I am compassion.
And I am compassion.
And so it is.
And so it is.
Let us pray. Sweet, sweet Spirit, Father, Mother, God, that divine and